you know, as PR cards, it's a bit, it's just incongruous, and it's, I mean, it's somewhat even hurtful. So could you perhaps elaborate more unpacking if you can, or if not, then perhaps could we meet with the Chancellor in some sort of open forum? So then, what do you think we could do then to perhaps develop this shared understanding? I mean, how can we codify this further? Rather than, because I feel like, I read the Chancellor's email, and in reading it, it was pretty vague. It was just said that, you know, certain things had been done in the past, and et cetera, et cetera. And so, I mean, what steps do you think we could possibly take to better understand?
I guess I'll kind of jump in there and say, sort of,
I actually wanted like an actual plan for developing what is this outer boundary. I mean, if we say we need to develop a method for finding this, but then if, I mean, as far as I know, we don't have a clear way of finding it, then nothing will get done. So perhaps the UA could hold an open forum with the Chancellor.
That's kind of the direction, basically, task force is going to have to step away and say, sit down, have a bunch of forums, have a lot of conversations with students of what do we think is reasonable? First of all, what are the students' expectations? And then go back and try and package them with the things that the Institute can sign off on. And I mean, obviously there's all kinds of concerns here, safety, legality, and otherwise, that really have to be back. So I guess the best that I have on that answer is you will be hearing from me, and there will be opportunities for these kinds of conversations in the process of any kind of recommendation that I bring to the Task Force on Student Engagement or any subcommittee thereof.
Yeah, I think I would amplify what Noah has said in that, from my perspective, the UA has a real role here. And the UA has an obligation to, particularly the undergraduates and the research, particularly from a student perspective, some sense of those shared values. I would remind us that there are other constituencies on the campus as well to include in an understanding of what those shared values are. But I know we all understand here that from where we sit, we have to be able to rely on the Undergraduate Association to play a lead voice in helping shape the thoughts, particularly of the undergraduate students.
So, kind of going back to the communication issue for a second, there have been some controversial issues in the past few years, or controversial decisions in the past few years, the Star Simpson case, Green Ball, et cetera. Just decisions that have kind of been, that have come down, that students have kind of felt a little bit shocked about. And I was wondering how MIT could manage to deal with these transparency issues in the future. What kind of concrete steps can we take now so that kind of the entire undergraduate body can kind of see things more pipeline instead of kind of the end result? I mean, the task force for student engagement is great, but I mean, as undergraduate, or as vice president, vice president of the undergraduates,
so the purpose of the engagement is actually to figure out what those communication channels should be. It's not to be the communication channel itself. I think one view of the student engagement network is to figure out how to put yourself at business. Channels that are now available often don't really provide the kind of improvement communications that you want. Often ask for the website for communicating this, and we'll put it on the website. Mm-hmm. I said, I'm not sure that just putting something on the website is communicating. It makes a place for someone to find it. It's a huge challenge, I've been using email communications, which, as I move these different positions, get more and more abstract and more and more low resolution, because there are too many things to talk about in any depth. But the problem with email is who wants to get spammed, and so it's one enough, it's too many. So these are all really important issues. How do you communicate in a way that's efficient and effective? And how do you engage the right people in a conversation? Now, one of the problems, in particularly a community like this is just extraordinarily intelligent community. Many of the members really love being engaged with things, but the fact is, at some point decisions have to be made, and for most decisions, some people will agree and some people won't agree, and so you have to have a process that actually gets the decisions made in a reasonable amount of time, gets a reasonable amount of input, and so you're never going to reach perfection. Perfection is everyone agrees with and has input into every decision, and it takes no time. You can't do that. And so balancing it, and if it's great when we have issues on which we can coalesce fairly rapidly around what the right decision is. I have to say, I think that this W1 postponed decision, it was hard to see it in every way, in a way that was fiscally responsible and responsive to the situation at hand. In a sense, it was kind of an easy one, an unhappy one. I mean, we're all really, really unhappy that we had to delay that project because it's moving along.
I mean, one of the things to highlight just there is, in contrast to the Green Hall, the task force was called together Monday morning, sort of as the second that the contracts were coming up, and it was something, shouldn't we be doing this? So we were called together, it was there, then the entire Phoenix group was brought together that evening before, I guess, I wouldn't say before the decision was finalized, but before I guess it was stamped and ready to go. So that everybody really vested in it, at least understood the rationale behind it, and had a little bit of a seat at the table.
Yeah, if someone had raised some point of view that was really, the decision could have changed. But I'm not sure what decision, what would have made changes if someone's saying, here's $90 million, let's do it. Okay. And that hasn't happened yet. Although I am looking for that. That person, you don't have findings. But this communication issue, it is the reason why the UA is so important. And so it is impossible for any person, whether it's me or the chancellor or one of the deans, to communicate with all of the students, with the input from all of the students. And it's what representative government is about. We all study every year in middle school. And I think really to kind of emphasize the role of the UA in coming up with approaches to a hacking issue, policy, whatever we're going to call it, really underscores the importance of supervising. We cannot function without it. And the better the communication is between the student government and the students, because that's where the communication largely should be. I'm practically talking in very general terms to my audience of 20,000 on campus and another 100,000 off campus. There isn't any way for that to be the kind of communication that contributes to precision or anything like that.
And I only want to acknowledge, of course, that here we sit in the UA Senate chamber. We also have DormCons, we have IFC, we have Pentel. These are important voices. And as together, we develop shared understanding and solutions.
Yeah,
can I
ask a question? So we talked about how to communicate better and so on and so forth. And it's great that you're here for an open forum because we get FaceTime with you. And you said that you would do the student lunch, which is also excellent. I think one of the problems with the whole communication issue in general is that a lot of times students feel as though decisions come out of the void and they don't really know where the decision was made or who made it or why it was made. So I'm a big fan of glass box meetings, which means that not everyone participates in the meeting, but anyone who wants to can come and watch it, or they have an avenue to witness what happens in any sort of decision making meeting. Right. So obviously you don't want to have 100 students in every meeting because that's going to be chaotic. But even if you have just a couple of student representatives, if any student who wants to see what's happening is allowed to see what's happening, then then that puts them at ease because I'm confident that that everyone at MIT makes decisions in the best interest of students. But but sometimes when all the students don't understand the decisions, then they come up with these crazy conspiracy theories that say that MIT is trying to be more like Harvard, or MIT is trying to be it's just the administration trying to their big put down on the on the poorer student population. So I think that's not that's maybe I think that might be one direction to go in, So, I mean, what would you think of trying to implement some sort of system where any student-related meeting that happens, students get to see what happens in it. I mean, even if it's like after the meeting, that's still fine because then students get to understand, the motivations and the problems that MIT is facing. And for example, the W1 decision, we understand that yes, MIT is short on money, so something has to go.
MIT is not short on money. the headline in the text was wrong. Funds have not dried up. Funds have not dried up in W1. Let me be very clear about this. In order to build, to renovate W1, to do a project like that, requires a commitment of financial resources out into the future. We build these buildings with debt. And debt is a form of financial flexibility. And the question was whether we should commit $90 million of the Institute's debt for this project now, not knowing what the next 6 months would bring in terms of the financial environment, not knowing what the value of the endowment would be. The endowment provides 20% of our operating budget to MIT, the payout of the endowment. And the payout of the endowment is calculated so that you can support today's scholars and tomorrow's forever. So the way we manage the endowment is in perpetuity, so that the next generation of scholars has the same purchasing power out of the endowment payout as we do today, okay? So if we were to commit to $90 million in debt to do the W1 project, which would have happened if we had signed the contracts, we would be committed to servicing that debt for the period of the debt obligation. It's not that we don't have the money, but the question was, what would our financial situation be in 6 months or 12 months? And can we make the commitment to service that debt and at the same time retain our commitment to financial aid? This year, the Institute is spending $74 million on financial aid obligations to undergraduates. $74 million. Some of that comes out of endowment. Some of it comes out of unrestricted funds for the Institute, and frankly, I don't think I'm being a pessimist to think that next year the endowment payout for undergraduate financial aid from those funds will be less, and the demand will be greater, so we'll have to use more unrestricted funds. Unrestricted funds simply, but it's not that these are funds that are not sitting in endowed that have to be used for undergraduate financial aid. There's a lot of funds that do that, that have to be used for faculty or faculty trainers, or they have to be used for some other people. So most of the endowment funds are restricted as to use. Very few of them are flexible. Those flexible funds have to pay for everything else. And so the decision on W1 is not because we don't have the money. It's because protecting what the money might have to be used for in 6 months or a year or 5 years. So I just want to be very clear with that the W1 sentence is not the grant money. As to your early suggestion that all meetings should be open to everyone, I think you are all very busy. So you fill every minute of every day with the, all the things that you do. You go to class, you do your PSETs, you do your activities. Some of you have some fun sometimes, and some of you sleep, right? Believe me, the work of the Institute is done at a pace that is simply crazy. We have to be as efficient as possible. There are meetings that go on across the Institute in a lot of different places, and the structure of the organization is a way that information kind of gets gathered up in different at different levels so that decisions can be made at the right level. And as I've said before, I don't believe that we are perfect, right? We're nowhere near perfect in communicating what the stages of those decisions are and how we have made. And frankly, I have to tell you, there have been decisions that have been announced that have astonished me. So not all decisions get to me. And I think that we have been really bad at communication. I think we really need to focus on communicating how the decisions are made rather than changing the process by adding more people to it or creating new structures for those conversations.
And because in a good democracy, information should be available to anyone who wants it, right? So maybe I don't have time to go and look at every single meeting that's going on. But there's 4,000 undergraduates. Maybe someone else does, and maybe you can divide it among 4,000 people.
We have a huge amount of student participation in the MIT, far more than most other institutions. It is great, and we love hearing student input. Thank you. The effect of the PNG proper decision is made about the size of the incoming class and financial decisions. This is astonishing that the students are involved in the process. And there are many, many examples of that. And there's a lot of work to be done around parents, for sure. You know, it's important to ensure the right people involved in the right work. The place I think where we really fall short is communication, and we're trying really hard to figure out what those communication channels should be so that people don't feel that there is some conspiracy to do any of the list of things that you said that I find comical in the sense that it would never cross anyone's mind to do something for any of those reasons.
But just to build on here, I think this communication problem is one that we all own. And so, in fact, in lots of those committee discussions, students are present. Students representing students who are put there by the UA. And so finding ways for those communication channels to work as well. That's part of the transparency, is how do the students who are in the room have mechanisms to talk with the broader student community.
Right.
Yes.
So we're all just about out of the president's precious time, so I guess we're going to do two more. Tall guy standing in the wedding. One more.
Thank you. I want to first thank you, President Popfield, for coming by. You know, I know you're a busy person. Anytime we get to unregistered talk to you directly is fantastic. One of the things that I think biggest motivation behind the campaign for students and that upset the student body when it happened was the administration's response to the Star Simpson case. That initially what happened was that Star Simpson had been arrested by the Boston Police Department, and then before talking to anyone that might be any of the student body or Star Simpson herself or her family.
But I kind of want to cut you off, and can you move to the forward part on the past part?
Yeah, sure. So one of the things that upset the student body was that they issued a statement that Star Simpson's behavior was reckless without consulting her, instead of consulting her Police Department, which ended up for leaving MIT because she said she was she felt disowned from the community, especially the administration. With the administration,
I think this is only one issue that they represent, though. I agree, but I think this. Sorry to halt this, but I think the Campaign for Students stands for a lot more than just this. And
no, I definitely agree. I guess my question is, would the administration react the same now?
Difficult circumstances, and great pleasure to have a chance to actually come to the UA. I attend as many student events as I can. That's always a source of great joy and inspiration for me. So, I want to dismiss, and I'm sorry I was so tough about the W1, but when there's a misunderstanding, I really wanted to try and get through that. And there, I wouldn't want anyone to leave the session today or walk around campus imagining that that there's any way I feel like students accept that I'd love interacting with you. And it's a huge privilege to be part of a place that brings people from different backgrounds. So thank you very much.
Go ahead and step over me, or I'll slide down. Thank you.